Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to read to you from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. I want to read about 7-8 verses. I want you to listen to this. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.'" Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for your great love that you sent your only Son, Jesus, and that it's by faith we are saved, not by our works, not by jumping through hoops, not by trying to meet a standard all on our own. For there is only one righteous, and it is your Son, Jesus. And out of his kindness, he's made a way for me. He's made a way for us. Let that truth sink deep into our being, into our understanding, into our heart, the depths of our soul. That we are saved by grace through faith. May that reign in our hearts, our understanding, not only today, but every day that you give us. For there is nothing greater than the salvation of our King. So we give you thanks today. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you've ever considered putting yourself into the story, the historical account of what happened. If you ever imagined what it would be to be Mary or Joseph, one of the three wise men, shepherd. I don't know if your mind works like that, but over the years I've thought about that. What would it have been like to be there? To experience what they experienced, and to hear this great message for the very first time in this way. Now, I'm pretty familiar with humanity because, well, I is one, right? And I walk among those who are. And I also look into the scripture and see humanity and the Spirit of God at work, and yet our response to things. You know, we get pretty caught up in the phenomenon. We get caught up into what we see happen. I always like to include Josh in the sermon. Listen, we get caught up in what we see happen. And, you know, it's an impact, and it should be. But sometimes in our humanity, we get caught up in the activity of what we see, and somehow that moves to the forefront, and we forget the priority of the message. You know, when I look at these shepherds, and I know they heard the message, you know, that the Savior has come, But I just see humanity at work, and I'm not trying to paint a picture here that isn't biblical or anything like that, but I'm going to let you into a little bit of how I see humanity working in their sandals. They're out watching the sheep. It's the night watch. And out of nowhere, unexpected, this night was somehow so different as it unfolds. They didn't expect this. An angel of the Lord shows up. It says they were afraid. As they leave and as they're talking together and traveling to go to find the child, right? I mean, there had to be conversation. Can you believe that? Did you see what happened? I wasn't afraid. I know you guys were. And as you get to town, you start telling people, this is what we saw. This is what happened. I was sitting on a rock. I laid down my staff. And I was sitting there and cleaning. You know, it was one of those nights where everywhere I stepped, it was in sheep dip. And I'm cleaning my sandal. Hey, listen, an angel of the Lord came. Listen, ask Ishkabibble. He was standing 15 feet from me, leaning on his shepherd's staff. This is how it happened. And we get caught up telling the story. And I think we need to tell the story. It's why it's in here. To give us the account of what's happening and what's unfolding and the experience. But there's two things that are very important here. One is the experience and the other is the message. We tell about the experience of what happened. But here's the message. It's a message of salvation. You see, this is how humanity works. You remember when Jesus got together 72 disciples and he sends them out. It's in Luke 10. He sends them out two by two to go do the ministry that Jesus has been doing. And he sends them out two by two and they go from town and village and they're going all over the region and they're proclaiming the kingdom of heaven and they are involved in ministry. They're seeing the sick healed. They're seeing people delivered. They're casting out demons in the name of Jesus and they're coming out of people. So when they rally back together after their ministry journey, they get back together and they're talking. They're talking about the things that happened. The phenomenon, the displays, and they're talking all about it. And it needs to be shared. We should talk about it. But Jesus interrupts them. And this is what he says to them. Don't rejoice that demons submit to you in my name. Rather, rejoice that your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The message of salvation, the joy of salvation. You know, I wonder what the place would be like, Josh, if the person, I don't know, with an obvious disability, maybe in a wheelchair, in a church service comes and God touches them, heals them, they get up, they leave the chair, they leave the apparatus, and they start to run around the building. I think this place would erupt by what they saw. And it is fantastic, especially for the recipient who has been confined to difficulty in this life. And I know this place would erupt with praise. But greater is the eternal salvation of the person than the physical healing in this life. Why does this place not erupt? Why do not I erupt more when I just think about the glorious salvation that God has given to us? That we don't need to see the phenomena. We desire it, we pray it, and we should. And we should pray for the sick. We should see people healed. And we do from time to time here. I'm so grateful But this place should erupt just simply because God is God and he has had pity on me and has shown me grace and mercy and he has saved me by faith, not by works. Is the church alive? Are we alive responding to the greatest thing that can ever be given to us? To be restored to God in this life, and our name would be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to tell you how important it is. Here's an example. In Psalm 51, there's David. He's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit his prayer to God after his, well, we'll call it the great sin, as if there's categories. He committed adultery. You know the story probably. Him and Bathsheba. And then he commits basically plans for murder of her husband at war. You can read it. He falls under conviction, confrontation, and begins the prayer of repentance. And he gets to a place in Psalm 51, I believe it's verse 12, and he says, Lord God, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Above all things, assure me that my name is still written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, go back to the shepherds, excited about the experience. But the message was salvation. The message was that their name could be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, as Scripture calls it. Jesus tells them, listen, great to hear all the good reports of the kingdom ministry, but rejoice more above all the things you saw and were a part of. Rejoice more that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. David, return to me that joy. Give me the assurance. Because if we look at the great prophecy through John the Revelator in the book of Revelations, you will see in many places that the Lamb's Book of Life is, it's written about, it is mentioned. Revelations 12, 13:8, anyone whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they in the end days will worship the beast. Revelations 20, verse 15, listen to this. If their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will be cast into the lake of fire. Listen, I'm not using these verses as some kind of leverage this morning to try to, you know, get you to come to Jesus. I'm just reading the words of the prophecy to you and I. And so, what does this whole thing mean? The coming of Jesus, it comes down to this morning. Has my faith in him moved his hand to pen my name, Randy Williamson, in the book of life? What about you? Is your name, has your faith in Jesus moved the hand of God to pen your name? Is he written? Doris Malby. Has God's hand been moved by your faith, Dennis? That he would write, Dennis Sherman. Has your faith in Jesus moved the hand of the Father to write your name? It's why he came. So our names could be written in his book. That the joy of salvation has come. that heaven rejoices on the day your name was penned. Listen, the hosts of heaven, Scripture says, all of heaven rejoices when a sinner converts, puts faith in Christ. They had a party. They had a party when my name was written. Maybe nobody's thrown you a party for any special occasion. I want you to know, when you put your faith in Christ, there was a party. They celebrated you. They celebrated the salvation of God. Harry, when you put faith in Jesus, the Father penned your name, and there was a party. Maybe you're like David. Somewhere along the way, you got lost. You moved away from the faith that God gave you. Well, I got good news for you. You're here this morning, and so is he. I think the two of you should get together right now. And let the joy of his salvation return to your soul. And bring peace to your mind. That the sinful phenomena of your past is not the most powerful thing, but his blood is. And that your name can be written by your faith in Jesus, will move the hand of God to write your name. I want you to bow your head, please, all over this room. It's Christmas. For a believer, it's Christmas every day. But on our calendar, it marks a special time of reminding us. And it comes down to this today. Is your name written in the book of the Lamb? Maybe you're like David. And whether things were done to you or was your own will, was your own weakness, which we all have, I want you to know he's in the room. Would you do like David? Say, God, your hand was heavy upon me until I confessed. And why would you confess to a God that you don't believe in? It takes faith. If that faith leads you to a prayer, I want you to know he hears it. If you're here this morning and you need the assurance that your name is written in the book, because as you judge yourself, you don't see that you've been faithful. Maybe you got disconnected. Well, he's a good shepherd. He knows how to go after us. And he brought you to this place this morning. Oh, you say, I came because my mother wanted me to. I want you to know the Holy Spirit brought you here, but you can blame your mother. Hear and say, I want the joy of salvation to come back to me. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to really come into your heart and life, you've never really expressed a faith in him, he's in the room. You can do it this morning, right here. pretty tough to celebrate Christmas without Christ. You're just doing the activities and they're empty when we don't know Him in our own life. It brings a whole new thing to us, whole new thing to our soul, our life, our mind, each day.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.